I just want to honor my wife. I don't know if you know it's our anniversary. Thanks for the cake. What a blessing. But we've been married 17 years, and she's not here. I'll have to honor her tomorrow. But I honestly have to tell you, marriage just keeps getting better and better. It really is wonderful. And I admire my wife so much. She's really the most amazing person that I know. She's the most efficient and organized person. We actually homeschool. In the U.S., you have an opportunity if you want to homeschool. So we homeschool all four kids. And so not only does she pastor alongside of me, but she disciples and teaches our kids as well. So we're just, I'm a blessed man. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. I love your pastors so much. I learn so much from them. And he's always teaching me new stuff. So hallelujah. Let's go to the Word. Go to Luke chapter 10. Yeah, so tomorrow we're going to just bring the Word of the Lord to you. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for the power of the preached Word. And right now, Lord, we just want to release into the atmosphere what you're doing with regard to healing and breakthrough in our lives. Lord, we're not afraid to look at the difficult passages. We're not afraid to look at the unspoken things. We're not afraid to look at the things that may be uncomfortable. We're excited about being part of something new in the earth. We're excited about spearheading and being the tip of the spear. And I just know that Solomon's Porch is that kind of church that will lead the way in uncharted waters. They will be the tip of the spear in these end times. And I thank you for it. Everyone said amen. Amen. The title of the message, the overall is Pride and Prejudice, but tonight I want to talk to you about a new wineskin. Just say that out loud. Say a new wineskin. Yeah. Someone say wine's pretty good, I think. I don't know. They tell me wine is good, but so new wine. I want to talk to you about a new wineskin. Look at Luke chapter 10, and I know you're familiar with this passage, but now that we've talked about spiritual prejudice, we've talked about a social prejudice and a racial prejudice, I want you to read this parable with that in mind in the backdrop of your thinking. Luke 10:25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Don't miss that part of the verse. Let's read that out loud together. The last part of the verse. Love your neighbor as yourself. Read it again. Love your neighbor as yourself. You answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now you got to understand the historical context here of the Samaritans and the Jews that were living there. About 722 BC, the northern kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians. And so the Jews were deported and colonists were sent in. And that was the philosophy, that they would colonize a place. Now, those that remained, they weren't deported. They remained there. They begin to just live life, live with the locals, and intermarry. And so we had a lot of multi-ethnic marriages. Now, given the context of what we've talked about, and you add to that the whole religious aspect, the racial divide and the rejection on both sides really ran deep in the culture. And so Jesus begins to tell this parable with this in mind. And so what I want to preach into the text tonight is that really the priest can represent that spiritual prejudice. And so here was somebody with spiritual arrogance. He thought that he was above stopping to help the Samaritan. And so we need to really be careful that the things that, albeit they might be good at times, but the things that we have a conviction about, we cannot let that get in the way of our ministry. And so many times we allow those things. So the example would be, a certain conviction that you might have maybe on a particular doctrine, and that is hindering you from sharing with other people. So let's not let that spiritual divide get in the way of us truly loving our neighbor. I would want to say tonight the Levite would represent the social pressure or the social prejudice that occurs. So many times we, because it's awkward for us, we don't understand that person's context, or it might feel like it's going to put us in a bad light, we won't stop on the side of the road. So again, only you can answer that question. But if you're viewing people of a different economical status, and that's keeping you from stopping on the side of the road or ministering, it's so easy to do, isn't it, to just avoid those things or to avoid that area of our lives. And so here the Levite, he walks on the other side of the road. So we've already talked about these things, but whether it's a different educational status, economical status, listen, that's not the heart of the Father. And so again, God wants you to be the kind of person that, irregardless of where you're at, you begin to understand and cultivate a family environment that if somebody, again, I've said it again and again, but if they're a multimillionaire, they can sit next to and love and worship and fellowship with somebody that might be on the verge of homelessness. And incidentally, you can both receive from each other. Amen? You can receive from each other. You can receive from a child. You can receive from anybody. And this needs to be a multi-generational church as well. That we have. And I preach this in my church all the time that, we're not the Gen X church. We're not the Millennium church. We're not the Gen Y church. We're a family, and families have multi-generations. That means this: I've got grandparents, and I've got grandbabies, and I've got teenagers, and guess what? It's good for my teenagers to be around grandparents, and good for them to be around aunts and uncles, because that's a family. And so sure, we have a children's ministry. Sure, we have a youth ministry that they can get the Word of God in, at their level at certain times. But for the most part, we are a family church. And so the Lord is longing for that. He wants us to understand those kind of things, that we're not trying to sequester people of different generations. I don't know about you, but in our society, we want to sequester sometimes senior citizens, or we want to sequester people that might be handicapped or people that don't quite fit in. And the Lord is saying, you know what, when you're part of a family, it doesn't matter what your economical status is. It doesn't matter what your educational status is. It doesn't matter what your social status is. Guess what? You're part of the family. I want you to look your neighbor in the eye and say, you're part of my family. Come on, find somebody, touch somebody. Say, hey, whether you like it or not, touch somebody. Whether you like it or not, I'm your brother. Hallelujah. Now listen carefully. You can only take two things with you to heaven. You can only take your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with other people. That's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. And yet we spend a lot of time doing a whole lot of other stuff, don't we? And my encouragement to you would be cultivate your relationship with Christ and cultivate your relationship with each other, because we're going to be neighbors in heaven. Amen? And so let's work on relationship. And so here the priest would represent that spiritual prejudice. The Levite would represent that social prejudice. But look at this. It was the Samaritan who had experienced the most pain of all that actually crossed the racial divide. And that's astounding to me. And here's what I want to submit to us tonight, is that those of us that have been hurt are oftentimes the ones that can bring healing even better than anybody else. You know why? Because we understand that kind of pain. And so not to be repetitive, but as I grew up in black Africa, at the age of 5, I just wanted to go to school with all my friends. And so the first day of school I went, and we were in literally a village with mud huts, thatched roofs, no running water, no electricity, had an outhouse. We were the only foreigners, the only white people in that area. But I just wanted to go to school with all my friends. So I went to school, and I'll never forget, I only lasted one day, because the whole way as I came home, it wasn't the kids my age, it was the older kids that just made fun of me, just teased me incessantly because I was the only white kid. So my hair was different. My skin was different. And you know, those kind of things run deep. But here I am standing as a healed man and never realized that it was part of my destiny to pastor a multiracial church and to pastor a multicultural church. But I think it's because I experienced a little bit of that pain. And in no way, for those of you that understand North America, in no way am I trying to pretend that my pain was in any way on par to a person of color in America. But I do know this, I have a passion for the minority. And if you've never been the minority, it's hard for you to understand. Until you're in a situation where you are the minority, then suddenly you start feeling it a lot more. And I have a passion for those that have been underprivileged or those that have been hurt or, as we saw in the text, who have felt like they've been overlooked in life. And so here God has raised us up to not only have a ministry called Healing to the Nations, to go to the nations and bring healing among ethnic groups, but our church, Freedom International Church, is very multiracial. Never realizing that God would prepare me to be in that kind of context. Now here's what I want to share with you. If some of you have felt that sting and that pain, and I had so much passion and compassion last night, because as I was preaching and I was telling you that I was a third culture kid, I realized, man, all of us are practically in this room. We've all had that kind of background. So I'm going to guess that many of us have been conflicted trying to figure out our ethnicity, trying to figure out our culture. But at the same time, you are more culturally astute than most people in the world because you've been in different cultures. You understand the difference between race and culture. So hear the word of the Lord tonight. Because you've been that and you are experiencing the healing of that and experiencing the freedom of who you are in your identity, that means this: you are poised in a perfect position to be the one that leads the way in the church and leads the way in society. Say amen to that, because that's good preaching. So God has put you in a right place. So those of us that have experienced more pain than anybody else, we should be the ones to bring incredible healing to a world where there is spiritual prejudice, racial prejudice, and social prejudice. And so God has raised me up. A couple of years ago, I had an African-American couple come to the church. And the wife really just connected. But her husband just really didn't seem to connect. I wasn't sure if it was a theological issue. I wasn't sure if it was just a style issue. Every church is different. We all have our different flow. But then she shared with me, and she shared confidentially, but she said, you know what? I just don't think my husband can submit to a white man. And it really broke my heart. But I thought, of course. Why would he? Given the historical context of America, why would he? I wouldn't expect him to. Are you kidding? We're only one generation off of segregation. So no wonder there's so much pain. But it broke my heart, and I just fell to my knees. I just begged the Lord. I said, Daddy, Daddy, please, is there any way we could just overcome this? But then I got to tell you about Miss Stella, who's 85 years old. We call her the mother of our church. When she joined our church and went through membership, bless her heart, I'll never forget, when she shared her testimony and how she got to the church, she started out by saying, my great-great-grandfather was a slave. Talk about getting everybody's attention in the room. You could hear a pin drop. But yet, she honors me as her pastor, and I honor her as my mother. She's my mother. She's our church mother. But so we're seeing some incredible, and those of you that have been in North America, you know what I'm talking about. This isn't a small deal here. We're talking about some miraculous things that God is doing in our context. And so I use that as an illustration. Forgive me that that's my context, but you can begin to make the cultural application in your situation. So here, the division, the rift is painful, but yet it's the Samaritan that reaches out and crosses the racial divide. And so I'm saying tonight that God has set you up to be the person in your context to show, you know what, even if there's an economical difference, even if there's an educational, even if there's a class society, and it may not be as obvious as in some countries of the world. Maybe it's all, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not all out in the open. You know what I'm talking about? But it's there, and we know it's there. Well, guess what? You get to be the person that's going to demonstrate the difference. Why? By showing that you're part of the same family. Hallelujah. You're my brother. You know what I love? You know what I love about being a Christian? Is I can go, and here's the difference. I can go anywhere in the world. See, a government isn't the answer. An institution isn't the answer. I can go anywhere in the world, never have met somebody in my life, but when I land and there's somebody that loves Jesus and I have that commonality, suddenly they're my brother. I said they're my brother. I said they're my sister. That's a huge difference. And so God has set you up for this kind of a ministry where you get to be the Samaritan. That even if you have felt that sting and that pain, well, that's great. Not great that you felt the pain. But great that you're being healed, and now you've got a heart and an understanding at a deeper level that most people won't even touch. Can you say amen to that? Now watch this. Look at the scripture. Go down to verse 34. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil. Say oil. And wine. Say wine. Now this is powerful. Because oil was used as a healing balm. And wine was used as an antiseptic. So oil is used as a healing balm. Wine is used as an antiseptic. Now watch this. What are two strong symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Scripture? Oil, say oil. Wine, say wine. So what I want to submit to you is that when there's a true outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that it needs to affect and touch every area of our lives and every area of our relationships. And so again, I reference Azusa Street, that in 1907, the Spirit of God is poured out in Los Angeles, and not just Los Angeles, but in pockets around the world, the Spirit of God is poured out at an exponential rate, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't that tongues had disappeared. To the contrary, there's always been prayer languages and different moves of the Holy Spirit for the last 2,000 years. But at an exponential rate, the Spirit of God is poured out and people are discovering and rediscovering the gifts of the Spirit and rediscovering the gift of tongues. And so God uses a man by the name of William Seymour, and he's an African American. Segregation was so bad that when he went to Kansas to begin to listen to Charles Parham, he had to sit outside the room. Can you imagine? He's going there to hear the sermon, but he can't sit in the same room. He's got to sit in the hallway because he's an African American. So he hears Charles Parham preaching on the Holy Spirit. He gets a hold of the message. He goes back to Los Angeles. He starts preaching, and the Spirit of God falls to the point where incredible miracles are happening, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So people come from all over the world to Azusa Street to receive the Holy Spirit. When they receive the Holy Spirit, they go back to their nations. It touches, it would be what we would call the modern Pentecostal move. It touches literally the whole world. And so God uses this African-American by the name of William Seymour. Now this is what's astounding to me, is that at the same time that that's happening in the United States, we had segregation. And so people come to Azusa Street and they receive through an African American. And when the Spirit of God is moving, they're receiving so much. But it didn't take long for them to put a block or put up their defense mechanisms. In other words, they couldn't submit to an African American. Or they couldn't really totally grasp that he would be the leader of the movement. And so what happens is they start. And I'm not thrashing a certain denomination, but for example, the Assemblies of God is born out of Azusa Street, but it was primarily a white denomination. So what happened? Our African-American brothers had to do what they always had to do. They had to start their own denomination which was the church of God in Christ. And so the very thing, can you imagine? God is filling you. God, you're experiencing this incredible stuff. But when you walk outside the church building, everything is segregated. And the very person that it should affect how you interact with them, Jesus said it right here, love your neighbor as yourself. So an incredible move of the Spirit. They're preaching, experiencing the gifts of the Spirit. How many people know you can have all those experiences but still be blind as a bat? Still have blinders on. So here they're experiencing the move of the Spirit. But then here's somebody that's of a different ethnic makeup or a different racial makeup or a different economical status, and yet we're treating them differently. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, you're my brother, you're my sister. Come on, somebody. Say oil, say oil. Say wine, say wine. So here's the Holy Spirit. Now keep your finger there and go to James. Go to James real quick. I know you have this memorized, but just bring it right in to this message. James chapter 5 and verse 14. James 5, 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil. Say oil. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Say healed. Say healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And so he's not just talking about physical healing here. He's talking about inner healing. He's talking about emotional healing. So you've come to the right place tonight. If you have felt like you've experienced that sting or that pain of being overlooked because you were a minority, or you've felt the pain because you're part of a people group, or maybe you're a second generation in your ethnic group and your parents don't understand everything that you're experiencing culturally. And so there's this rift and there's this divide and you've felt that pain. Maybe you have an interracial marriage tonight. And your parents aren't accepting of it. Or your spouse's parents aren't accepting of it. Talk about painful. You know why that gets so painful? You know why I said this before? And this is my acid test. It's always my acid test. And here's why. My acid test for whether you struggle with prejudice is how you view an interracial couple. And the reason why is because that's the closest it gets. Think about it. If you have an interracial marriage and one side of the family isn't accepting of that, how much more painful can it get? Because that's your family. So hear the word of the Lord tonight. One of the best things we can do is demonstrate healing that in this church family, that we are accepting and we flow with. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. It doesn't matter what our racial makeup is. And we bless all kinds of relationship as long as Christ is the center of it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And so if you have felt the sting of that in any way, or maybe you felt the sting because you didn't have the education, or you're not making the kind of money, or whatever it might be, you've come to the right place because oil is flowing here. Because when the Spirit of God moves, His oil is going to be poured out. And so you're at the right place where you can be healed. Now watch this. A lot of times the healing comes through other people. It comes from the Lord. But it also comes by being in an environment where you see it manifested and demonstrated. And so what a glorious place, what a glorious opportunity for you to be here in a church family where you can experience those kind of relationships. So listen carefully. If you've been in a situation where maybe, and I'll just say this, if you're ethnically Asian, if you're racially Asian, and you came to the United States, and let's just say you felt the pain and the sting of European or white Americans make comments or racial comments, and you had to grow up in that context. Well, you realize that not only does God want to heal you, but maybe much of your healing could be in having a friendship with me. To say, you know what, I love you, and you're my brother, and it doesn't make any... But to see that demonstrate, you get me on this? You got me? So to demonstrate it in that, or whatever the context might be, or whatever. So being part of the church, what's great about the church, hallelujah, is that this is our family. And so we get to see it demonstrated and acted out right here in the church. And that's where healing comes from, not only from the throne, but through each other. Oil, say oil, say oil. But there's also wine. See, oil was a healing balm, but wine was an antiseptic. I want you to look at Luke. Look at Luke chapter 5. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke 5 and verse 37. Luke 5 and verse 37. Now, I know you know this verse, but may I just bring to this verse everything that we have talked about? Look at this. Look at this. Watch this. Verse 37. And no one pours new wine into old wineskin. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. What I want to submit to you is that historically, there was a wineskin. There was a church. And it's still happening today. Most churches, as I said, are monoracial. And when something begins to break in that, or there's an introduction of something different, can I submit to you, and I think you'll agree with me, that it would break the wineskin. And we think about it at a family level. When somebody has maybe an interracial marriage, and they bring that person home, I'll bet many of you know stories where it broke up the family. It broke the wineskin. They didn't know what to do with that. And they had an opportunity to either be healed or an opportunity to reject. And some of you have maybe known or you've been close to a situation where there was that rejection because they couldn't accept the multiracialness. So again, I keep using it as an illustration because that's the closest you can get. But welcome to the family of God where you can be healed in that and you can be accepted and enjoy who you are. Am I preaching with too much passion tonight? Does this bother you? Come on, say new wineskin. Say new wineskin. So what God is doing in the earth today, and I prophesy it. I'll tell you what God is doing in the earth today is He's creating a wineskin. And I want to submit to you, it's been the missing ingredient. Man, I feel like this is a revelation of the Lord. God has given me this message, the missing ingredient. So many times, you see, we have an opportunity in the body of Christ to usher in the return of Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we thought, okay, it's missions, it's missions, it's missions. We got to go to the nations, we got to go. And that's true. That when this gospel is preached in every nation, every ethnic group, that then the end will come. That is true. But could it be that we've missed what's been glaring right in front of us this whole time? And that is that we've had a bit of social divide, a bit of economical divide, a bit of spiritual divide, and certainly a racial divide. And God is trying to scream and say to us, look at what's staring you in the face. I want to bring healing to this, and I want the church to lead the way. And that is the missing ingredient that will usher in the return of Jesus Christ, because we'll demonstrate what heaven is really going to look like. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, say new wineskin, new wineskin. Yeah. So we're talking about a church that leads the way. See, the government's not the answer. They can do all they want. They can talk about what's politically correct. They can talk about what's not politically correct. They can talk about this, that. They can do what the answer is in the church. Hallelujah. The answer is because we have a change of heart. We love the Lord our God with all of our heart, strength, and mind. And thus I love my neighbor as myself. Hallelujah. So in my church, and it's not just a church culture thing. I do it on purpose to signal. I'll say brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. You know why I do that? I do that because I just pulled you into my context. It's not a formality, but I just said, you know what? You're part of my family. Hallelujah. Whether you like it or not, you're my sister. I just pulled you in. So it's a signal, and it's a church culture that I'm establishing, because what we're doing is we are cultivating a family. And so if I consciously say, and I have my people say, hey, brother, hey, sister, hey, my brother, hey, my big brother, Larry, my big brother, Patrick, my brother, my sister, what I'm saying is I'm pulling them into my family. That's what I'm cultivating. Hallelujah. And so when you understand that you really have family, watch this. Then when you really have family who will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death, and who will walk with you and help you climb every mountain, I guarantee when you know you have that kind of love, you'll make it through anything. Hallelujah. Whoo! Glory to God. Part of a family, part of a family. Come on, slap your neighbor twice and say you're part of a family. Hallelujah. So this is a new wineskin. This is a new wineskin. This is what God is doing. So if you've been hurt, man, I encourage you, let the Lord keep uncovering. Let the Lord keep showing you as things rise up. Have you been healed? Well, be healed of that. And then be the healer. You, wow, glory to God. If you've been hurt, guess what? You're going to be one of the greatest healers. Oh, glory to God. I stand to you today. I am so keenly aware of my humanity and my faults and all this stuff. But I stand before you today as a healed man. Hallelujah. Secure and comfortable. I love who I am, and I love my family, and I love what God has given me. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. I'm healed. Glory to God. Amen. And you get to be that kind of person where you're healed. And then you become so free. Glory to Jesus. So free that you realize everybody else is messed up. But you're okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Say the oil, the oil, the oil. And the wine, see, you're part of a new wine that's flowing. And so this healing, see, if you, watch this, if you were to go to another church, you'd break that wineskin. It couldn't handle it, hallelujah. Do you realize, forgive me again, I can't help it, I live in America right now, but just take what I'm saying and take the application, apply it to your culture, your context. But you realize, in America, my marriage would have been illegal in some states up until 1970. Illegal to have an interracial marriage. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And so we've come a long way. But I'm telling you this, the church needs to lead. And so my marriage, can you imagine, just 30-some years ago, if I would have gone into certain states in the South, I'd have been illegal. How would I have done that? How do you deal with that? How do you wrap your brain around that? But now the wineskin. And so if I would have gone into certain contexts, the wineskin would have broke. Talk about upsetting things. But now the wineskin is a place that is whole, a place that is healthy, a place where there's healing, and you get to be part of that kind of family. Amen? Now, why is this so important? It's so important because I told you last night that, you know what? The reason why racial prejudice runs so deep is you can't do anything about it. Spiritual prejudice you can change. Social prejudice you can change. But I can't change my ethnic makeup. This is who God created me. And I'm beautiful whether you think it or not. Hallelujah. I feel good. I feel good. And my family's beautiful. Amen. But this is the wineskin that God is wanting to create. If we'll get a revelation of that, and begin to see people truly like you are my sister, you're my brother. I really believe that. Then we'll walk through anything together. Hallelujah. And we'll be an example to the world. And I'm going to tell you this. You will shatter darkness in this area if you'll demonstrate that kind of love. Amen? And so let the Spirit of God begin to rise up in you to see how do you manifest that? What is it that you can do to be a demonstration of that here in Hong Kong? What does that mean in your context? What does that mean for you to release the love of God, to love your neighbor as yourself? That's a new wineskin. Say the oil, the oil. Say the wine, say the wine, say the wine, say the wine. So if you've been hurt, oh man, God wants to release this healing. Oil was used for healing. Wine was used for an antiseptic. Let me go a little further. I want you to go to Psalm 133. This is where God has been leading us up to this weekend. Look at Psalm 133. How pleasant and good it is when brothers live together in unity. Say unity. Say unity. It is like precious oil. See the oil? It is like precious oil poured out on the head. Running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. For there the Lord commands. The word bestow here means commands. I think the NASB actually uses the word commands. So the Lord commands a blessing. So what I want to submit to you tonight is that when we're living in unity and we deal with some of these issues, what will happen is the Lord will command a blessing to come upon that church. Could it be that many times the Church of Jesus Christ on the world, around the world, has not received all the blessing because there isn't unity? We're talking about unity at all kinds of different levels, but yet we miss this whole aspect that I'm talking about tonight. And God is saying, you know what, if you'll really understand this and grasp what that unity is, like being a family, I will command my blessing to come upon you. See, it's one thing to just get blessed one another once in a while. It's another thing if God says, you know what, I command that church to receive my blessing. Don't you want some of that? Amen? The command of the blessing. Now, what does that mean? We don't have time for a word study, but let me show you this Hebrew word in one other passage. You know, one of your best rules of interpretation or biblical hermeneutics is that you allow the Bible to interpret the Bible. If you want to know what a word means in the text, look it up in other scriptures. You got to be careful that it's the original Hebrew or the original Greek. But that is how you do hermeneutics. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. What did God mean by that? So look at 2 Kings chapter 20. Let me show you one place where this word bestow, this word command in the Hebrew is used. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order." Right there, that phrase, put your house in order, or set in order, because you're going to die, you will not recover. That phrase right there, set in order, is the word command, is the word bestow. So when God talks about bestow blessing or command blessing, you know what he's saying? He says, hey, I want the house to be set in order. Could it be, my brothers and sisters in Asia, could it be that the house hasn't been in order? That the Church of Jesus Christ hasn't been in order? But when God sets his house in order, there's unity. Could it be this has been the missing key to many of the blessing that we have wanted? Because it's staring us right in the face. And yet God is saying, you know what? If you'll deal with this, if you allow yourself to be healed, and you allow yourself to be a healer, then I will command my blessing on you and your family and your church. Hallelujah. See, look at me tonight. I'm a blessed man. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I'm healed and I'm bringing some healing to other people and I'm living in unity. Thus, he is bestowing. He's bestowing. He's bestowing and commanding blessing on me, in me, through me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you want? But you got to set your house in order. So if there's racial division, that's not a house in order. So again, back to the context of the family, because that's where it's so close. That's where it's so intense. But draw it up on your video screen. Imagine you've had an interracial marriage and you brought your spouse home, but your parents reject your spouse. And then they reject your children. Can you imagine, or maybe you've lived in that, how painful that is? That's not a house in order. That's a house that's in dysfunction and in disarray and is full of pain. But God is saying, hey, I want to pour out oil on that kind of intimacy, on that kind of family. And I want to bring intimacy and I want to bring healing. And I want that to be a picture of what my family is all about. That's exactly what he wants the church to be like. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Come on, touch your neighbor, say, hey, God's bringing some healing. Say it, God's bringing some healing. See, he's setting the church in order. You know what? This is a message for every nation of the world. I know what I'm talking about here. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to be braggadocious, but I know what I'm talking about. Because the ethnic division runs painfully right through the center of Kenya. The last violence that came out of the Kenyan elections were based on ethnic divide. Same in the Congo, every nation in the world. So it's in Africa, it's in Latin America, it's in Asia, it's in North America, it's everywhere. And God is trying to pour out his love and say, you know what, I want to pour out my blessing. My sons, my daughters, I want to command my blessing. But you got to be healed of this and you got to become a healer and demonstrate this. Can you say amen? Come on, touch your neighbor and say, that's revelation. Say, that's revelation. That's revelation. That is revelation. So God's wanting to set the house in order. He's wanting to bring healing. And he wants you to be a healer and to demonstrate that. I want you to go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verses 20 to 23. This is Jesus. Okay, so you don't believe me? Let's believe Jesus tonight. Verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This was the prayer of Jesus, that there would be unity at every level, that there would be unity in the body of Christ, that there would be unity in our families, unity in our societies. This was the heart cry of Jesus. This was his prayer, that we would be unified. And so I feel like God is saying, you know what, I want to set individual homes in order, and I want to set local churches in order, and I want to set the church at large in order so that I can command my blessing. Don't you want some of that? Hallelujah. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, I'll bet you want some of that. Say, I'll bet you want some of that. Now look at Matthew 18. Let me bring this home for us. Look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Here's where I think this all comes together. I tell you the truth, Jesus said this. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so many of us have been bound up by hurt. God's wanting to heal. God's wanting to loose the chains. The things that we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Things that we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now watch this, verse 19. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree. Could it be that we're not receiving the latter part of this verse here? Because we're not in unity. We're not in agreement. But if I really get a revelation that, hey, you're my brother. No, you're really my brother. You're really my sister. We're really part of the same family here. Then I'll agree. If I can agree on that, watch this. If two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father. Remember, one Father, one family, one race. The human race, one family, anything. If I'll agree on that, if I can't agree on that, then I'm not going to receive anything. Yekabasanda. So I'm not afraid. So there's a church growth principle that says that the quickest way to church growth is to promote homogeneous, how do you say it? Homogeneity. That which is homogeneous. Right? Yeah, they say that. And I'm thinking to myself, why are we going down that road when my Bible just said that in heaven, I'm going to be part of a family where every ethnic group is represented. So why can't I demonstrate that right here on earth? Hallelujah. And the walking in that kind of love and that kind of power. Amen? Amen. Woo, glory to God. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. You know what's so glorious about this? Is as I said, wherever I go in the world, as soon as I land, I can be here in Hong Kong and I feel connected to you. Why? Because we have the commonality of Christ. Because we really are a brother and a sister in Christ. Whew. You have an opportunity to be part of something extraordinary right here in Hong Kong. You're part of a church that is so mission-minded, that has a heart for the nations. But you are the nations right here. Do you realize how beautiful that is? Do you realize how wonderful that is? Come on, look to your neighbor and say, you're beautiful. Hallelujah. So beautiful. So beautiful. Well, handsome if you can't. Yeah, say handsome. Amen? New wineskin. New wineskin. Oil. New wine. Hallelujah. God's creating that wineskin. The thing about this is, it's tricky because on the one hand, you need to be intentional about it. But on the other hand, it's not something you really want to talk about. Right? So for example, I mean, this is who I am, right? I have an interracial marriage and I have multiracial children, multi-ethnic children. That's who I am, right? So I can celebrate that. But you don't want to bring awkward attention to it, right? Like, don't talk about it in front of my kids. You know what I'm talking? I mean, like, hey, what? It's amazing. I'm biting my tongue here. It's amazing what people say sometimes in front of children, right? I mean, it's incredible. You know, we have a lot of blended families in America, you know, and yet people will just make really unusual remarks in front of children to make a child feel awkward, you know. And so I told you before, my wife doesn't look at all like her parents. But how many times did people come up to her, especially if they were Korean, first generation, and started talking to her in Korean? Well, as a little kid, you can imagine how awkward that made her feel. Or how many times have people come up to me and said, hey, where's your wife from? Oh, she's from Colorado. Oh, no, where's your wife from? She's from Greeley, Colorado. No. Where's she from? Like I'm stupid or something. I don't know what. Where's she from? You know, like I haven't noticed her ethnicity. I mean, what in the Sam song is going on up in this place? I mean, what? Oh, you mean what is my wife's ethnic heritage? Is that, you know, language is important, right? What's her ethnicity? You know, sure, I can share with you her ethnic heritage that, you know, she's Korean American. Yeah, sure, I'll share that. It's amazing how people talk sometimes. So we do need to be intentional and celebrate. We want to celebrate your heritage. I think that's a cool heritage. Man, I think it's really cool. We just spent a week in Korea. It's a dream come true. It's a trip of a lifetime. I mean, this is our first international ministry trip that we've gotten to take as a family. And to me, I can't even explain to you how precious it is that we would get to go to Korea. Now, my kids are full-on American. It would be just like they went to Switzerland. My ancestors came from Switzerland, right? So they're full-on American. But I think it's really cool. We celebrate their heritage. If you ask my kids what their heritage is, they'll say Swiss, Korean, American. You know, I mean, they know exactly, you know, what their heritage is, right? And so we celebrate that, but we don't bring awkward attention to those things either, right? Because we're still part of a family. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Am I talking to anybody in Hong Kong? Can you say amen? Yeah. And so you get to be part of something extraordinary here where God is wanting to break off pride. We would walk in humility. We truly would treat somebody the same, irregardless of their economical status or social status or their racial makeup. That pride is broken. That prejudice is broken. Preconceived notions, preconceived judgments are broken. That we will not judge a book by its cover. Can you say amen? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So I don't know. Ask Pastor Sam to help me minister. We'll minister together, and I don't know if you want a team to help flow or however you feel the Lord leads on this, but there's two things Remember at the very outset I said there's two sides of the coin. The one side of the coin is, have I experienced hurt? And, you know, the river's flowing. The river's flowing. And there's a grace in this house. There's a grace right here on my life to just release healing for that. There's a grace. So I would just encourage you, you're in the right place. If there's been the sting of that prejudice, you've felt that, or you've felt the pain of living in that. We're not trying to force anything, but if you need some of that oil, need some of that wine, you're in the right place. This is it. Let's let God do a deep work. Let it come. Just let the healing come. Let the release come. We're not forcing anything, but if there's a release, a catharsis that needs to happen, you're in the right place, hallelujah, for healing to come. The other side of the coin is that God wants you to be a healer. God wants you to be the kind of person that you can demonstrate right here in your context what it means to stop by the side of the road. Make a difference. How you treat, I know some of you guys have employees, how you treat your employees, how you treat colleagues at work, how you interact with people. You have an opportunity to be different. Say, yeah, I'm going to show that I am a brother in Christ. I know there are people in this church that are very, very influential. You probably have many employees. You have an opportunity to not only be an employer, but to demonstrate that you're a brother in Christ. Wow. What an extraordinary opportunity. And I know you still got to be the boss, but wow, to show, hey, this is how a godly man does it. This is how a godly sister does it. This is how I can release healing. And not just in Hong Kong, but how can you step into other nations all across Asia and around the world and be that person that would demonstrate, wow, oil and wine flowing through your life to other people. Whew. It's a mission-sending church. If you haven't been part of missions, wow. What an opportunity for you to step out of your context and serve. Amen? Whew. Get your hands dirty for Christ. Get your hands dirty in serving the Lord. Be a healer. I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands toward heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you can do more than one thing at one time. Lord, you can release healing tonight. I always say tonight, Lord, keep healing us, keep healing us, keep healing us of things that have been said, of things that we've been experienced, of generalizations that have been made or expectations that have been put on us because of our background or because of our ethnic makeup. Lord, that's been painful. That's been awkward. Sometimes we cope by brushing it aside. But Lord, those things hurt. They run deep. I just ask that you'll release your healing power tonight. Continue to go deep in our hearts. Lord, I stand here tonight not having wanted to go through the pain. Now I'm sure glad I'm on the other side, that I have an understanding. You've called me to be a healer. And I was reticent to share this, but Pastor Sam encouraged me. But you know that dream that I had that I shared with you last night about Daniel Boone, who was an African American? Came into the dream. And I felt like the Lord said that I was to be an agent of healing I thought to myself, and I'm reticent to share this, but because I don't want to try to sound like I'm important or in any way trying to sound grandiose, but maybe I think it's pretty cool. But I felt like the Lord said, you know what, for African Americans, they were brought over by Europeans, by white people. And I could be a bridge. And now, as I take teams to Africa, took one gentleman, and he landed in Africa. And when the plane landed, he just started to cry and weep. And you can imagine the historical context of that. And I thought to myself, wow, the pain of white people taking Africans over, but now I can take people to Africa as a white person, but show something entirely different. Because I'm a brother. Because I'm a healer. How will you be a healer? How will you demonstrate that out of your pain there's healing? And what can you do to bring that kind of healing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to open up the altar tonight. And the Lord knows exactly what's going on in your heart. But if you're here tonight and there's still stuff coming up in your heart of that hurt and that pain, that sting of feeling, that prejudice, spiritual, social, racial, let's let the Lord release oil and wine to touch you tonight. Would that be okay? We touched on it last night, but maybe there's more to do. Maybe you weren't here last night and God wants to go deeper. But I also want to open up the altar for a commitment. At the same time, same altar call, as a commitment to say, you know what? Lord, I want to be a healer. And guess what? You can be healed at the same time while you're walking this out. But if you're here tonight and you just say, you know what? I want to come to the altar and I want to say, Lord, I commit to being a healer. Man, I want to make a difference. For some of you, I know, the Lord showed me this, I know for some of us, this hasn't even been on our radar. But it's on your radar now. So maybe you could say, you know what, I want to commit to being a healer. God, show me how. Open up doors. Open up opportunities. Thank you for my background. Thank you that I'm an international. Thank you that I understand multiculturalism. Thank you that I speak more than one language. Oh, Lord, thank you. How now? How can I use this for your glory? You realize that, don't you? A lot of kids that I grew up with, they don't want anything to do with God. They certainly don't want anything to do with Africa. But if you'll be healed, you'll say, wow, there's a reason why I was brought up the way I was brought up. God was setting me up for something. Hallelujah. So if you want to come, you just come. The altars are open. You come tonight. Yeah.
Just by way of getting things rolling, you know, I know for me, one of the a breakthrough that I had in my life, and some of you guys know my background a little bit. You know, I was raised in the States. I'm obviously Korean American, but I really, really disliked my culture because I was so different than everybody else. And there were a couple of instances that happened. One in particular, I remember when I was a youth pastor, I actually invited Jimmy Stewart to come to our church to preach. And he came to our youth group, and just out of the blue, he came out and actually, as an African-American man, he apologized to our Korean youth group for the L.A. riots. And it didn't even really dawn on me, you know, but just the violence and, you know, that the African-American community had, you know, perpetrated on the Korean American community in Los Angeles. And he came up and with tears, and he just repented. And, you know, something broke in that room. It was just the weirdest thing. I'd never been in this kind of setting before. And I had actually, my Eddie, right, a friend of mine who's pastoring. And, man, his life was changed because he held so many grudges, you know, and he held these things in his heart. And for the first time, he was released, and he was actually, you know, applauded for his culture and whatnot. And I had a few of those episodes, and I feel like, you know, sometimes the enemy kind of traps us, or he gets us bottled up, and it really takes repentance to really flow. You know, and in that, there's also repentance, especially comes from as we identify, you know, with the transgressors, you know, it's like what Jesus was talking about. You know, and so for me, and Eric and I, we're going to pray individually, but together in a way. As an Asian person, you know, that's here, as a Korean, you know, or as a Korean American or whatnot, man, I really, on behalf of the Lord working in my life, man, I just really want to apologize and repent if my people as Asians, if we've made any comments, you know, or made you feel small, made you feel like your culture was unappreciated. You know, if we as Asians, you know, and to Americans or, you know, to Europeans that are here or Indians or, you know, whatever, the non-Asians, you know, and then if we have marginalized you in some way, you know, by the grace of God, I just ask for your forgiveness. You know, if an Asian person said something to you that was, you know, racist, you know, if an Asian person or a Korean person expressed something to you, you know, that's not who you are, you know, and judged you by the color of your skin or the way that you looked, and, you know, and it did something to you, you know. I mean, and it does something spiritually because we you get slimed, you know, in that way. And I just repent on behalf of myself and on behalf of my people in that way. And I sincerely ask for your forgiveness. And I pray that healing word would just go forward, you know, in your life in this way. And I want to ask Eric to pray as well.
And so, as somebody that would represent a European race or a white American or white European, and I would ask you to forgive us just for ethnocentrism, thinking that we're better, overlooking, not appreciating an ethnic group, not appreciating different races, but abusing and exploiting, taking advantage. Forgive us. Forgive the evil, things that were done to African Americans, to Asian Americans as they immigrated, to Latins as they're coming into the States now. Forgive our arrogance. Forgive our ignorance. Forgive our ethnocentrism. We just beg you that you could forgive us, that we could demonstrate that we could be brothers and sisters. Lord, I ask that you would just release healing. Yes. Healing from things that have been said. Things that have been done. As Pastor Sam said, that where people have been marginalized, felt overlooked, as we saw. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Just release your healing.
I would really encourage some of you, especially you Asians that grew up in the States, you know, and if you had a similar experience like I did growing up, and, you know, I encourage you to just allow Eric just to pray for you tonight, and seek him out. You know, I think there's something that needs to be broken on a few of us in that way, right? And really, I mean, it's really significant that he's actually a white European that's going to lay hands and minister to you in that. There's something really profound and spiritual in that. And I really don't want you to leave tonight without just allowing Him just to minister to you. And I believe that healing is going to flow. And I think a lot of experiences that we have, you know, most people that you first recognize racism when you become, when you get mistreated. Like most people, you actually, the concept doesn't even come up until an incident happens where you're mistreated. And then you realize, oh, that's racism. And it hurts. It's painful. You know, and like Eric was saying this whole weekend, this is just a healing word. And so we're just going to minister to you, but especially, you know, if you grew up in that context with a lot of that, you know, make sure you seek Pastor Eric out tonight, you know, before you leave. And we're just going to pray for you, and we're just going to ask God to minister to you. And, you know, and in that same way, I'd encourage you, as you're being ministered to, if you can find somebody, you know, because he's talking about both, right? That we're getting healed and we're agents of healing. I would encourage you, before you leave tonight, that you go pray for someone, you know, that's different than you in terms of your ethnicity or your background. And we're pretty mixed here, that can play out pretty well. You know, as a Korean, you know, you go minister to a Chinese person, or a Taiwanese, you know, whatever, you know, makeup we are, that we just minister to one another and really begin to acknowledge one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, right? That the blood of Jesus is thicker than any other national blood, ethnic blood, you know, our spiritual blood, you know what I mean? That the blood of Jesus covers everything. Right, and so let's pray. And we encourage people to come and pray as well. Leaders and others, just come and just minister alongside. Right, you don't need any qualifications. You just need to love Jesus and you need to love people, and then you can pray for people here. Okay.